Good morning. Beautiful worship this morning. I love worship. I think that's probably the most important part of the church service. I really do. Worshiping God. What a wonderful way to build on a relationship that we have with Him. What a wonderful way to express our love and to feel His love in return. Lord Jesus, we praise You this morning. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in things that are going on. And yeah, Isaiah 26:3, I think it says, He will keep you, or you will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You. Help us, Lord, just to focus on You. Lord, open up heaven for us this morning. Open up our hearts and our minds. May the eyes of our understanding be open. May we receive what You have for us. And Lord, help us to apply it to our hearts. Bless Your people this morning, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture this morning was in Luke, but we're actually going to be in Acts chapter 8. If God tells us to do something, do we need to know why? You know, it's almost like He could say, because I said so. And that would be true, wouldn't it? Luke chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. I didn't lie. This is as much in Luke as we're going to have, I think. Now, when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a... It's either draught or draft. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Anybody know? What? Draught? Or draft? For a catch, it says in one of the other translations. So we'll go there. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Trust and obey. You can have doubts, but nevertheless, trust and obey. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path, or He shall make your path straighter. That works out pretty well that way, doesn't it? When we obey God, when we do what He says, even if we don't understand it. In Acts chapter 8, we read of a man named Philip. This was not Philip the disciple, you know, one of the 12. This was one of the 7 helpers that were appointed as deacons in chapter 6. Serving the Lord. In chapter 21, it mentions him again. He's referred to as Philip the Evangelist. Paul talks about Paul going to the house of Philip the Evangelist. Many different ways to serve God, isn't there? And a lot of times they lead to something else, other opportunities. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. There's a lot of persecution after Jesus rose from the grave and went to be with the Father. A lot of persecution. And it seemed like it just got worse and worse. So people were scattered. I think God had a plan. Even with that. You know, get out of your comfort zone, get out of your safety zone, and just go out there and do it. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. It's called a revival. Skip down to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know, Philip might wonder why he was being taken away from a populous city where one of the largest revivals was going on. And he was dispatched to a lonely, deserted road near Gaza. This is not a main road, by the way. Did he need to see the reason he was going? Instead of asking why, he obeyed the calling. Why would it be so important to talk to one person? In John chapter 4, we read about Jesus, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Because there's one person. One person he had to talk to. Jesus had gone out of his way for one person that he shared with about himself. A woman at a well, and hearing what he had to say, she ran back into town and testified to the townspeople about him. They proceeded to come see for themselves. In 4:39, we read, And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. One person. It wasn't unusual for Jesus to do this. He sailed all the way across the Sea of Galilee for a demoniac. One of the most pathetic individuals you could ever hope to encounter, if you hope to encounter a demoniac. Not too anxious for that one, huh, Bob? Well, we had one come on property one day. This is a couple of years ago. Just about foaming at the mouth. I just spoke calmly to him, gently to him, talked about God's promises, and he calmed down. So, I don't know where he is now. We don't know. Let's see, I read verse 26. Verses 27 through 30. And he arose and went. He obeyed. He trusted. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou hast readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. It was Isaiah 53, by the way. Of course, they didn't have numbers, chapter numbers or verse numbers back then. Okay, and the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophets of this, of himself or some other man? Actually, I went a little far, didn't I? That's okay. So what was so important about an Ethiopian eunuch? After all, he was just one person, wasn't he? And yet in verse 27, it says, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had to be satisfied with just being at the outer court. He wasn't allowed into any further in because he was just a Jewish proselyte. But something in here got his attention. He was a very important Ethiopian official. He had charge over all the queen's treasures. That kind of tells you how important he was, doesn't it? Not long after this encounter, a Christian church was established in Ethiopia, one of the largest churches outside Israel. A lot of people were saved, weren't they? One person. Verse 29 says, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. The word join literally means glue. Attach yourself to him. Glue yourself to that chariot. The Holy Spirit was serious about this, wasn't he? And Philip ran to him. And he heard what he was reading. Philip was given an open door to share the gospel. You know, what do you say in a situation like that? You let the Holy Spirit tell you, lead you in what to say. He said, do you understand what you're reading? That's a good opening, isn't it? Sometimes you can't figure out what to say. I remember one time I was ministering in the jail. And I ministered in there four times a week. And sometimes I didn't really have a lot of time to prepare for prepare for what I was going in there. Sometimes I went in there with nothing. And this one time, I had absolutely nothing. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. And usually I let them, you know, there's a rec room, or I don't anymore, obviously. But there's a rec room in there, and they take a basketball in there, and there's a basketball hoop on the, you know, they play basketball for a little while. And then things settle down, and we talk about the Lord. But this one day, they finally got tired of their basketball, and they sat down, and I still had nothing. I had no idea what I was going to say. And they're looking at me kind of expectantly, like, aren't you supposed to be talking about something? And naturally, that gets me a little more upset. Like I said, I had no idea. But I knew I had to do something. what I expected to come out when I opened my mouth was like that. You know, I just, that's all I had. But I said, okay. I said that to myself. I said that to the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And whatever comes out, comes out. So I did it expecting that groan to come out. And what came out instead was, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it went on from there. So, trust and obey, right? Where am I? Oh, yeah. Philip was given an open door to share the gospel. The eunuch said, who is the prophet speaking of, himself or some other man? That's a good question. That's a question we have to ask ourselves, don't we? It's something we have to kind of get beyond and move on with our relationship with the Lord or our service to the Lord or whatever he wants us to do. The Jews did not and do not believe the spoke of Messiah. If you read it, it should be obvious to believers, isn't it? But some of them thought it was Isaiah, who became a martyr. But Isaiah had wealth. Isaiah had free access to King's palace. He was not the humble servant of Isaiah 53. Others thought it was Jeremiah, who suffered more than any other Old Testament prophet. You know, sometimes I wonder what he thought at that time, because nobody heeded anything he said. He probably died thinking he was the biggest failure in the world. But we read his book, don't we? And he was thrown in pits. He was beaten. He experienced a lot of suffering. So others thought Jeremiah, who suffered more than any other Old Testament prophet. But Jeremiah did open his mouth often to complain. Jeremiah 12:3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah 20:14-18. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repenteth not. And let him hear the cry of the morning and the shouting at noontide. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore come I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame. Why, Lord? Why me? Of course, God's life will say, why not? Because God has a reason for everything. But he certainly wasn't too happy with what was going on, and he was very vocal about it. So it's not Jeremiah. Some people believe Isaiah 53 speaks of Israel, whose people, because of their suffering, have been made acceptable to God. Well, yet the suffering in Isaiah 53 is totally for others. Jesus suffered for you and I. Israel didn't. Neither Israel nor anyone else can claim they are sinless. Isaiah 53 talks about the Messiah, talking about him being sinless. There's only been one that's been sinless. And none of them died for my sins. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. by my stripes I am healed. No. This clearly speaks of Jesus Christ. And although they won't admit it out loud or to themselves, they know it subconsciously. At least they know it. Everybody deep inside has a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes says he put eternity in their heart. Isaiah 53 is seldom read in synagogues, and few Jews are familiar with it. It's just totally ignored. They don't know how to deal with it, so they ignore it. Just pretend it's not there, and maybe it'll go away. Anyway, let's go back to verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? All it takes is one person, doesn't it? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And it goes on to talk about Isaiah 53. We already read that. I'll read it again. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, okay, who does he speak of? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached Jesus unto him. Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. You know, I taught for a year in a Bible college back in 2001. I taught Old Testament survey. And I kind of missed an opportunity, I think, but yet, thinking back on it, I don't know. I had probably the world's toughest final exam. I asked everything that I asked on that test, 100 questions, was covered in that class. But there's a lot there, isn't there? And that's a point I wanted to make out. Because there's a lot that we need to dig out in the Bible. There's a lot that we need to learn. You know, we don't get tired of the Bible and stop studying. I thought after that what I should have done was just say one question, using the Old Testament only, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missed opportunity? Well, maybe. Maybe it worked out the way God wanted it. Maybe it should have been different. Because you think about it, all the people preaching Jesus Christ in the book of Acts, what scriptures were they using? They didn't have John. He was there, but they didn't have his writing. They didn't have Luke's writing. They didn't have Mark. They didn't have Matthew. And, of course, they didn't have the epistles. They had to share Jesus using the Old Testament. And you can go all the way back to Genesis 1. Sometimes it's hidden. Genesis 5, there's a genealogy. All the genealogies listed from Adam to Noah. And if you take the meaning of those names, they all have meanings, and you put them together, what it literally says is, man is appointed mortal sore. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest. And the eunuch answered, okay, that's the third time I've read that. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, the one thing that might hinder is if he didn't have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has to learn that. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Baptism isn't for salvation. Baptism is us confirming or speaking out our testimony about what we believe and who we believe. And it's also, God wants us to do it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, that word believe, sometimes it gets used a little, maybe not as strongly as it should. Because believe is total trust. James says that even demons believe and they tremble. But they don't trust. They don't receive him. They don't give their hearts to him. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What qualifications did Philip possess for ministry or as a soul winner or even to baptize? Who can baptize somebody? Anybody can. Anybody that believes in Jesus Christ and does it under the authority of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. What qualifications did he possess? He knew the scriptures. We have to know the scriptures because they're going to be questioned. And we have to be ready to give an answer. And he had made himself available to God. God can do great things with a willing person or through a willing person. And he also trusted and obeyed, didn't he? Now imagine his testimony. He could say this. I was part of one of the biggest revivals in history, but then I was sent by the Lord to the middle of nowhere to minister to one person, a eunuch. One person. Are we being sent? Yes, we are. I had someone tell me this morning that they wanted to wash dishes this year. He doesn't know what an encouragement that was to me because that's been kind of heavy on our heart because we don't know who's going to be here. But that's God answering prayers. One little job, one person. That might be the difference of whether or not we have the kitchen open this year. And he doesn't understand how much he's going to enjoy it. Because he will. That opportunity is there, by the way, for anybody that wants to help out. All positions are available. Let me know. I'll put your name on the board. As our brother from Canada, Al, refers to it, the glorious dishwashing team. But there's also servers, there's cooks, there's... We don't know how many Canadians we're going to get. So we don't know. But you know what? God knows. He's already working on it. God loves challenges. You know why? Maybe I shouldn't say it this way, but he likes showing off. Showing off. That means revealing his glory. Because he wants us to know who he is and what he is. It's all part of service. serving him, trusting and obeying. You may be only one person, but God can use one person. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here, your presence in our lives, your gift of salvation, of course. Your gift of salvation that saved a wretch like me. And most, if not all of us, can say that. Lord, we look to you in everything. Thank you for your word. Lord, pour your blessings out on your people. Pour your heart out on your people. We want to know your heart. We want to be like David, a man or woman after God's own heart. Teach us your ways, Lord. Teach us your ways. We love you, Lord. Continue to bless your people today, Lord. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.